Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I literally have zero words to describe this transfer window right now. It is honestly bonkers. In the last 24 hours, in an unrelated note on the transfer window, we've had a Champions League draw. All day yesterday, Cristiano Ronaldo wants to leave Juventus. Man City want him. He's going Man City. You got all the Man United fans burning shirts and whatever else, abusing him, putting out videos and tweets about him being Satan. And lo and behold, 24 hours later, Cristiano Ronaldo is going back to Manchester United. Oh my God. Man United's transfer window has been insane. Let's just put it out there. Sancho, Varane and Ronaldo. They paid, what, 80 for Sancho, I think. 45 for Varane. And including add-ons, the fee is meant to be 23 for Ronaldo. So, 150 million, give or take. They've got Sancho, Varane and Ronaldo. Arsenal have spent 130 million. They've got Ramsdale, Ben White, and Odegaard, and Tavares and Lokonga. Oh my God. That team's going to be fucking brilliant. It's going to be scary and all. You look from front, like from back to front, right? De Gea. On his day, one of the best goalkeepers on the planet. Even now. Yes, he's had his struggles. But who hasn't? In defence, Wan-Bissaka. Say what you want about him. He is a good defender. Luke Shaw. Brilliant season last year. But they've also got Alex Telles at left back. In centre back, they've got Maguire and Varane. In midfield, Pogba, Fernandes, Van der Beek. And in their front three, or in their front line, they've got Rashford, Martial, Ronaldo, Sancho. Cavani. My God, man. They're going to cause some serious problems this year. And before they got Ronaldo, I said they were like in and around I think they'd be in and around a title challenge, but I think they'd fall short because of Ollie, compared to Tuchel, Pep and Klopp. But I think Ronaldo's the game changer. There's four teams fighting for this title this year. And I'm buzzing to see where it goes. I really am. As a Chelsea fan, got to say a quick thank you to Kurt Zouma. He's on his way to West Ham. In return, we are getting Jules Koundé. And if you believe the rumours and the reports, and to be fair, Fabrizio Romano has commented on it as well. Apparently, we're looking at Saul from Atletico Madrid as well, with an option, loan with an option to buy. The option to buy fee hasn't been announced yet, but I think as a loan with an option, perfect deal. Perfect deal. Because Saul is an incredible midfielder. Doesn't get the praises he deserves. He's been a mainstay in a hard-working Simeone side. I think he, in that Tuchel midfield, as a box-to-box, whether it's next to Kante, Kovar, or Jorginho, he'll be fantastic. So, yeah, in terms of Saul, bring him in. I don't care what his wages are. Bring him in. With the amount of wages that Chelsea have got off the books just this summer alone, just this week alone, go and get him. Go and get Saul, and you're laughing. Along with Koundé as well, because we can't go the entire season with only three midfielders. Four if you bring Mount into a double pivot. As it stands right now, the only three are Kante, Kovar and Jorginho. Kante is susceptible to injuries. Kovar, he's good. But I don't think we'll be able to rely on him and Jorginho all season. They basically, because of the amount of competitions we're in, they can't physically play every single minute of every single match. We need another midfielder. And if we get Saul, then bring it on. We're set. We're ready. But that's the obviously the big transfer news has to be Ronaldo. It just simply has to be. Like, I can't believe you literally yesterday you had Man United fans abusing him and burning his shirts and shit, and then today the fee itself is ridiculously low. Obviously his wages, apparently he's taking a pay cut, who knows, but I mean, I'm fully expecting him to tear the league apart. He is a phenomenal player. There's no two ways about it. For me, he's the best player ever. That's not to say I don't rate Messi, because I do. I think him and Messi are number one and number two. But the fact that he's going back to United and back in the Prem, and United are going to be very scary. Very, very scary. And as I said, we'll have to just wait and see what happens. But yesterday, on top of the transfer rumours and all the stuff that came out, we had the Champions League draw. There were eight groups. We had the awards ceremony as well. So we had best goalkeeper, both men and all the awards were men and women. So we had the men's goalkeeper, men's defender, men's midfielder, men's striker or forward, and same for the women's. We had the best coach for men's teams and women's teams. We had the best player for men's teams and women's teams. And then we had the presidential award as well. So I'm going to go through the awards and who won before I get into the group stage, like the groups itself. So I'll go through the four positions first. So the best goalkeeper in the Champions League last season, the award went to Edouard Mendy. pretty explanatory. The guy kept... I think he conceded one against Real Madrid, one against Rennes, and one against Porto. And he was just exceptional. Yes, we had a brilliant defence in front of him, but when he was called upon, he was excellent. So, definitely deserved. The best midfielder went to N'Golo Kanté. Again, fully deserved. He had four man of the match performances in a row. From Porto, the semi-finals against Real Madrid, and then the final itself. So again, fully deserved. And then for the forward, Erling Haaland won it. Again, fully deserved. The guy just banged in goals for fun in the Champions League last season. Now, you might have noticed I missed out the defender, the best defender. And you looked at the nominees, and the nominees were Antonio Rudiger, Cesar Azpilicueta, and Ruben Diaz. Surely the fact that Chelsea broke a defensive record in the Champions League last season, we conceded the fewest amount of goals to win the competition. We conceded 4 goals in the entire tournament. Rennes scored 1, Krasnodar scored 1, Porto scored 1, and Real Madrid scored 1 in the entire tournament. Right? Only 4 goals conceded and we won it. Yet the Chelsea defenders didn't win the... not a Chelsea defender didn't win the Best Defender Award. Ruben Diaz got it. Now, I'm not saying Ruben Diaz is a crap defender. He's not. He's brilliant. But Rudiger has been the best defender on the planet since Thomas Tuchel took over. And I'll say that with my chest proud. He is. He has been. As I said, how can you set a defensive record and not win the defender award? Or not have one of your team win the defender award? It's bollocks. But it is what it is. The coach award, like the best coach for the men's teams, went to Thomas Tuchel. I think it was Pedro Pinto, when he was doing the award, he went he said something along the lines of basically how he turned our fortunes around and in such a short space of time and all that. And as soon as, like, before he even named Thomas Tuchel, with how he was describing it, it was blatantly obvious it was Thomas Tuchel. And again, fair play. Like, he came in January and bossed the knockout rounds. Like, we beat Atletico Madrid comfortably. We beat Porto comfortably. We beat Real Madrid comfortably. And to the point where we could have absolutely battered them. Like, if we could finish our dinner that day, we would have put 6 past them. And then in the final itself, we bossed Man City. We deserved to win that tournament. And like fair play to Thomas Tuchel. He got the award and yeah, he fully deserved it. And then it came to the player of the year for UEFA, and that went to Jorginho. Not only for the Champions League win, but the fact that he won the Euros with Italy as well, playing an instrumental part in both club and country teams. He was exceptional. I'll admit I'm not his biggest fan, but what he brings to Chelsea is something that only he brings. And he's, you got to look at it with realism and with open eyes, and he fully deserves that reward. He has been head and shoulders above the midfielders in the, or the other players in the category, because he was nominated against De Bruyne and Kante, and as brilliant as Kante was, and again as good as De Bruyne is, he fully deserves that award, and fair play to Jorginho. And in his message afterwards, like, because they all did like video packages and stuff, Jorginho basically said that his haters helped him because it made him want to prove them wrong and stuff like that. And it, I thought it was brilliant. And although it was the first award, it's the last one I'm going to get to, was the presidential, not the, the presidential award. And Alexander Čeferin was in the room. He went on the stage and they asked him about the award, and he said that the recipients of the award made everyone realise that football is more than just a sport, and that human life comes first. And the recipients of the award, there was multiple, there was like 10, maybe even 11, was Simon Kjær, the Danish captain, and the Danish medical team, and the like the doctors on, like, who saved Christian Eriksen's life. And Kjær wasn't there, did a video package again, and he said, like, basically, although it's his name on that award, it's the whole team. It was the whole team. And yeah, what Čeferin said, I fully agree with it. It, human life is more important, and the fact that they were recognised. A lot of people say they were just doing their job, but they saved a man's life, and you know what? They're fully deserving of that award, fully deserving. And like every time I play FIFA, or like I've got a phone game, which is like a FIFA draft game, and every time I see Simon Kjær's name, I call him a hero. And I know it's not just him. It's the medical staff, the Danish team, the doctors, the hospitals. But yeah, it does make you realise. And as I said, they're fully deserving of that award, the recognition, and yeah, well, excellent job saving his life. But now let's get into the Champions League draw. Now, some of the draws, like some of the groups, are quite tasty. So we had Branislav Ivanovic and Michael Essien. This is all right. So we had Branislav Ivanovic pulling the team out, and we had Michael Essien doing the like the pot, like which group they were in. So once all the groups were done, right? Like, because they said the groups would be decided by computer. So the rules of the group stage were, teams get pulled out of the pot, and they get put into groups according to country, TV clashes, and there was another one in particular for Ukraine and Russia. So like, for example, the English teams couldn't be in the same group. So in Group A, we have Manchester City, PSG, RB Leipzig, and Club Brugge. So, already in Group A, we've got a fantastic tie in Man City, PSG. I thought it was a bit ironic that Leipzig and PSG were in the same group last season as well. But is what it is. Like, they opened them in front of you. Like, they can't fix that shit. PSG got put in... Like, PSG weren't the first... Man City were in that group already. Let me explain this properly. When, like, PSG were the, like, fifth team pulled out of pot two. And, like, because the only... I think the only two groups left were Group G and Group A. Because Group Lille are in Group G, they got put straight into Group A with Man City. So, moving into Group B, we have Atletico Madrid, Liverpool, Porto, and AC Milan. So that is your group of death. Any four of those teams can make it through that group. And any four of them can finish bottom of that group. It's a fucking tough group to get out of. And just for reference, at the end of this draw, I'm going to go through who I think will be top and bottom. First and second, sorry. And then see how right I am with my predictions at the end. Group C, we had Sporting Lisbon, Borussia Dortmund, Ajax, and Besiktas. Again, for them teams, it's a tough group. They're not the biggest teams. They're big teams, but they're not the biggest, like, elite teams. And against each other, that would be a very tough group. In Group D, you had Inter Milan, Real Madrid, Shakhtar Donetsk, and a Moldovan team called Sheriff. It's their first time ever in the competition. So the fact that they get to go to the San Siro and the Bernabeu in their first ever season in the Champions League will be extremely special for them. They're probably going to lose all their games and get pumped, but for them, it's the experience, it's the occasion. I think they're going to be real and not expect too much. Obviously, if they, by some fucking miracle, manage to get out of the group stage and get in the knockout rounds, then even better. But, yeah, I think they'll be there just for the occasion, and they'll go from there. But Group E, you got Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Benfica, and Dynamo Kiev. So, again, another tough group. Bayern Munich and Barcelona. That fixture is going to be tasty. You're going to watch that and go, oh my God. Dynamo Kiev are not going to be pushovers. Same as Shakhtar Donetsk in the previous group. They're not going to be pushovers as well. Going to them crowds are fucking hostile. And they're going to... Like, the group... That group with Barcelona and Bayern in are going to be... They're going to be freaking tough to beat. And same as Benfica. They're going to be tough to beat and all. So again, that's another group that you're looking at and you're going, you know what? Actually... And then Group F, you got Villarreal, Manchester United, Atalanta and Young Boys. So we're going to have a repeat of the Europa League final. Atalanta are no mugs. I think, personally, I'll get into it in a minute, who I'll actually think will qualify, as I said. Group G, we've got Lille, Sevilla, Salzburg, and Wolfsburg. So, again, for those teams, it's a very tough group. They can all take points off each other. And then in Group H, we've got Chelsea, current holders, Juventus, who are now without Cristiano Ronaldo, result, Zenit St. Petersburg, and Malmo. So, again, another favourable... Juventus are still a very good team. Let's get it right. But, again, another favourable draw for Chelsea. If you ask me who had the easiest group out of the English teams, it's hard to say, because we've got Juve, but then we got Zenit and Malmo, whereas Man United got Villarreal, Atalanta and Young Boys. I think Liverpool got the shaft in with their group. when that group came out, when it was finished, I pissed myself laughing nearly. But if I go through the groups, and I'm gonna write this down as I go, actually. In Man City's group, I think PSG will top it. I think Man City second. I think Leipzig third. And I think Bruges will finish fourth. So Leipzig going down into the Europa League. I don't know what happened if the fourth place Champions League teams, I don't know if they go into the Conference League or not. But we'll wait and see. I think in Liverpool's group, it's tough. I think Liverpool top it. I think Atletico second. I think AC Milan third and Porto fourth. Which means AC Milan in Europa League again. But as I said, with that group, anyone could take points off of anyone. I think Group C, I think Dortmund are winning the group. I think Ajax, then Sporting, and then Besiktas. In Inter's group, I think Real Madrid top the group. Inter second, Shakhtar third, and Sheriff bottom. Bayern, I think, win their group. Barcelona second. Benfica third, and Kiev fourth. I think Man United top their group. I think Atalanta second, Villarreal third, and Young Boys fourth. I think Sevilla top their group. Lille second, Wolfsburg third, Salzburg fourth, and Chelsea top their group. Juve second, Zenit third, Malmo fourth. Which will then group winners be? So all the group winners in my prediction would be PSG, Liverpool, Dortmund, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Man United, Sevilla, and Chelsea, and all the group runners up being Man City, Atletico Madrid, Ajax, Inter Milan, Barcelona, Atalanta, Lille, and Juventus. So, obviously, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that one. So,
overall, my thoughts on the Champions League draw. There are some cracking fixtures. Absolutely cracking fixtures in the group stage alone. Man City PSG in the group stage. Last season semi-final, by the way. Atletico Liverpool. Going to be a brilliant game. Liverpool AC Milan, which is going to be a historic game. Inter Real Madrid, Bayern Barcelona, Chelsea Juve. Well, there's some brilliant matches there already, and I can't wait. And speaking of Liverpool, we play them tomorrow in the league. I know I didn't do the Arsenal review like I said I would, which I can only apologise for. Got super busy and unfortunately wasn't able to do so. But even if it's just a 10-15 minute pod, I will be bringing you a Liverpool review. Hopefully we win and Lukaku's had another like boss showing. And bullies Van Dijk, but we'll wait and see. We'll definitely wait and see. But that is going to be all from me, ladies and gentlemen. If you did enjoy it, please give my podcast a share. That would be absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for listening. And until the next time, keep the blue flag flying high, and I will see you on the next one. Goodbye.